Hello, 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 everyone, for another episode, fun-filled episode.
Yeah.
We're kind of zany and goofy today. I feel like that MSG is kind of just working on us. We just had a little bit of lunch.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was good lunch. By the way, I remember, Sakura, is that what it was called?
Maybe.
Japanese
like that.
Hibachi restaurant, Rushville, Indiana.
Excellent.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
Would
start giving restaurant reviews when we should
feel like, what do they do anything else there besides eat? No, we do a lot of eating, all right? And I love to eat, so I would give it two thumbs up. I would give it 4.7 out of 5.
Ooh, it's pretty high marks.
Pretty high marks. It was very good. I would give it 4.7 also because of the friendly service.
Yeah.
Just really great friendly service. But anyways, I feel like we're a little loopy because of the extra sodium and that was in the food, but we're going to make it through this.
We can do this.
We're going to try not to like just crash and fall asleep. No, we won't, because we've got some good stuff on tap for today. We get to talk about our good buddy Solomon, and we get to talk about wisdom today. I'm trying to remember two episodes ago, because it feels like, no, we talked about, I was trying to think, if we've talked about Solomon for 2 weeks, but we only talk about Solomon for 1 week. It was Samuel. We were on for a few weeks anyways. We're talking about Solomon today. And like I said, this concept of wisdom. I think wisdom is a very interesting topic because I think people misunderstand wisdom. What do you feel like is usually the thought process behind wisdom? How does one gain wisdom, and what is wisdom, do people usually think? Any ideas on that?
Yeah. So I think wisdom a lot of times... people see that as knowledge.
Yeah, like you just know a bunch of stuff.
Or age, right? Like
that's
automatically get wisdom because you're old.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people that it's not true for.
I've seen 80...
myself included.
I've seen 80-year-olds that are far less wise than 40-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah.
So, a lot of people would say that. That's exactly what I was thinking, especially with the age thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, how do you get wisdom? Well, you couldn't possibly get wisdom until you get like really, really old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no. No, wisdom is available to anybody at any age, at any time. So... does have to do with age. Wisdom is not just strictly knowledge. And like I know a lot of things. In fact, with Solomon in the story today, and particularly we're kind of talking in First Kings 3 is where this is at, and Solomon requests wisdom. It's not about knowledge. Solomon knew all the right stuff. He had a whole lot of book knowledge, but he didn't know how to apply that knowledge. That really, to me, is kind of where wisdom comes in. Is wisdom is the ability to apply what you know.
Yeah, I've always heard it said, wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge you have.
Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know.
Yeah,
I just coined like a whole new definition. Anyways, I just thought about that, about wisdom, but that's what it is. And in the story in 1 Kings 3. This really kind of weird setup, Solomon, and this is what I never really thought about this before until I studied this last week, is Solomon, he's not really a good dude. He's just not. Like, we look at him, we're like, well, there's the epitome of what it means to be a great king and a great person who leads their people well. Like, he
started out okay.
It's sort of okay, but like, we don't even
get... he still had some problems.
We don't even get a verse into... 1 Kings 3, and he has made an alliance with Egypt. He's married the Pharaoh's daughter. He's worshiping where he shouldn't be worshiping.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got like 4 or 5 strikes against him before we even really get into the story we're talking about. And he has this dream, which again, that's the part I had never really had paid attention much to before, is we look at this and be like, oh, he was so noble and asking for wisdom. It's like, the guy was asleep.
He really never had a choice in the matter.
He was asleep.
Yeah.
You know, all it is really when God comes to him, he says, Solomon, what do you want? Ask and you'll get it. All it is from the very beginning is a heart test.
Right.
Where is your heart truly at? And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. If we were to imagine God coming to us and asking you that question, what do you want? And whatever your first snap response is, that shows exactly where your heart is in things. And so that's what we get of this setup of this story. And Solomon says, well, guess what? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm young and inexperienced, and I know that I need you, God. And we're like, I mean, that really and truly is like, that is a great great heart position. That's a great amount of humility for someone to have there to say, I don't know enough, but I know that I don't know enough. And that's a great place to be at. I think sometimes we know that we don't know enough, but we fake it and try to make people think that we're all wise and we have like, I know enough.
Fake it till we make it.
Yeah, which, you know, you need to know enough to know that you don't know enough.
Yeah.
You really do. And Solomon understands that, and he requests, he goes, the one thing that I ask for, God, is I want the wisdom to be able to rule and to love your people well. And I love how he continues to use that phrase. These are your people, God.
Yeah.
Not mine.
He doesn't see this as his.
No, this isn't my thing. I'm not doing this. I need you beside me, God, to be able to do this. That's just a great position to be in. It's a great heart position to get to. But we know Solomon sort of falls off the rails rather quickly. I mean, in fact, like I said at the very beginning there, Solomon, it's estimated, is probably about 20 years old at this time. He's about 3 years into his reign, of a really long reign. You could just tell right from the very beginning that there's something that's off with him. Mm-hmm. And do you remember what we talked about? It says, before we even get to the dream, it says that Solomon loved the Lord just like his dad David did. But you remember what that word was that we talked about? There's one word in there tucked in. I can't remember which verse it is. Maybe about verse 3. It says, except.
Mm-hmm.
Says Solomon.
I was really thinking like I was
a really,
really
big
deep
theological like, word. Like, no,
did he use a Greek or a Hebrew
did
word?
Did you
there
tell us Hebrew on Sunday? No, it's not. That's the thing about it. That's why we would be tempted to just look over it. Is he loved the Lord just like his dad David did, except, and it says that except for he worshipped the high places, or he loved to give burnt offerings the high places, which is just emblematic of his inability to properly worship God. And I said that one little word right there says everything about not just Solomon's life, but it says a whole lot sometimes about our life. Like, what do you think of when you hear that word, accept?
I think of those little things that I feel like, you know, that's not so bad. I think I'll hold on to that little pet sin. You know what I mean? Like, it's those things that I was just thinking as you were talking about that when he went up to the high places and was worshiping, that was improper worship.
Yeah.
And it was him worshiping God on his terms.
His terms.
Rather than worshiping God on God's terms.
It's my way, God.
And I feel like that except, right, is often present in our own lives. Like, we want to worship God on our own terms,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't want to do things exactly the way he wants them done.
Yeah,
we're not really willing to go quite that far, but we'll do this.
Yep.
Right. And what comes of it is, you know, I mean, you see that working out in Solomon's life of what happens if you let that happen.
Yep.
So.
Yep, and like I said, it looks like at the very beginning, you're like, oh, that's not such a harmful word, except because it might be like a little tiny crack, but like we know tiny cracks.
And you would be tempted to be like, well, at least he's worshiping God, right?
At least his heart seems right, right?
Yeah,
Now, except is a really big problem.
It is.
I think of it on another term, I mean, just kind of what you were describing, but I think so often, I know this to be true because it's true in my life, is like, God, I'm willing to give you everything
except
this little part over here. You don't touch it, even get close, don't even look at it, God, because you're not even, this is, guess what, then you've not given everything to God. And that's really the genesis of this whole story with Solomon. And this is the really interesting thing about the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is there are some clear places where it calls people out as being evil and horrible, but there are a lot of places too where the author just writes it and says, you draw your own conclusion. Right. What do you think about this guy?
Yeah.
And I think that as we do that, and as the Bible writers force us to do that with certain people in the Bible, is it really drives us to the heart of who we are. Because, I mean, like, almost every point we're like, oh, man, Solomon, what he did, how wicked, how horrible. It's like,
we may not have 700 wives.
No,
but
we don't.
We still
we have accepts we in do. Our life. We and do. I call them like also too, like plan Bs, escape clauses. You know, we've talked a lot about this. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because like this whole time that we've been moving through the Bible, this comes up again and again and again.
Yeah.
And it will continue to do that because our hearts are just naturally bent towards we talked about this a few weeks ago when the Israelites request a king.
Right.
I want a God that I can put my hands on,
right.
that I can control, that I can understand, that I can keep accountable, that I have some measure of control over. And what God says very clearly all throughout the Bible is you do not control me. Yeah. You know, we don't. He is the creator of all things, everything in the universe. It's like, how in the world do you think you're going to control that?
Yeah.
But we do that when we have accepts in our life. God, everything. No, if like, if you're going to give God everything, it's ever. Well, no. This is one thing. This is this, you know. And we sometimes I feel like justify that in our life. It's like, well, I've given him except for this one thing right here. I've given him everything. Well, you've given him really nothing then.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're getting ready to do a week at church camp.
Yeah.
And our whole theme is surrendered, right? We're going off of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about being a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
And what that really means is you don't just give pieces of your life. It's the entirety of it.
The whole enchilada.
Everything.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah. What we have, what we're blessed with, what we've been given talents for, our time, you know, everything we're stewards of.
Yeah.
Right? We've been given all this stuff. It's not ours.
And that's insanely difficult.
It is.
It's very, very tough.
Because we like you said, we like the control. We like to hold on to things. We don't want to give up those things.
But I feel like if we understand this right here, this one thing is like we like to be in control, but do you know what? We're really bad when we're in control.
We have I'm horrible at being in control.
We have a penchant for really wrecking our lives when we leave ourselves in control. But when we turn control over to God, things turn out pretty great.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in the story of Solomon. If you fast forward and you walk through Solomon's life, is he just never really got it. He just never really fully embraced. He never fully gave his heart over to God. He's a guy who really could have done some amazing things.
Well, we look at his life from a human perspective and look and see, man, the guy had everything.
Wildly successful.
Yeah. But you go back and read Lamentations. And him talking about everything being meaningless, you know.
Ecclesiastes. Yeah.
And everything being meaningless.
Yep. Yeah, Solomon's such miserable. An interesting character because you get to see so many facets of his life. You get to see the beginning of it, kind of the middle. The end of what I was going to talk about, you go to 1 Kings 11, and it says, like, if you thought he was off the rails at the beginning of 1 Kings 3, he's completely gone by verse 11 says he has given his heart over to other loves, to his wives, his many wives. But not only that, but like this is just blatantly in your face, God, I love these other gods.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is what happens when you want to have control over your life.
And we see that. And I think that's why the Bible tells us in the beginning, he was following after God, except, right, we see the holes in the dam, as it were, right?
I believe the writer.
And they're eventually going to burst open, right?
I feel like the writer is very crafty in how they put a story together. They're like, I'm not going to tell you what you should think about Solomon, but I'm going to give you a really clear hint of where things are about to go.
Yeah.
Except for, and I just think we have to be very careful of those spots and places in our lives where we have accepts or buts. Or maybes, or it, no. When it comes to following God, and we're going to talk about this next week. This is like uncanny how all this stuff just piggybacks on each other. Is next week we get to talk about the big showdown on Mount Carmel. Yeah. And Elijah says to the people, hey, if God is who God says he is, and guess what, guys? God has shown himself to be who he is. You know how many times he has saved your skin? If he is God, he is the living God, follow him. Without reservation, completely surrendered, give everything up to him. You know, but like this Baal character over here, if you think he's the real thing and the real deal, then go ahead and follow him if you want. But You're following emptiness.
You know, Solomon was just, he was just a single person in that entire kingdom. Like, they were all doing that kind of stuff. You know, the reasons why they were following Baal was because they needed to make sure that their crops were good, right? So one more, just fail safe, right? Just in case God doesn't come through, right?
I'll just add one little more, one little thing to it. Like, Christianity and following Christ is not an add-on religion.
No.
One more, like Jesus and this. Like, we have such a tough time of saying just Jesus alone. That's it. But we're people are always constantly saying, well, Jesus plus, I'll add, like, you know, like some popular, like, I'll add Jesus plus my morality. That's what will really do it. Like, no, you didn't have to add anything to that. Yeah. You know, Jesus and my intellect.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't think Jesus needs our intellect.
Jesus and my piles of cash. That does. Jesus and my popular. Jesus doesn't need anything else with him. What I see this little a formula I use all the time. I saw it a long time ago. It's like Jesus plus anything equals nothing.
Yeah.
You've just reduced down the essence of the gospel and who Jesus is when you just feel like you need a pile.
I think the other side of that is Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
Yeah, Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just a great little formula kind of phrase or a picture to kind of keep you focused in on this is what it's got to be about. We don't, there's no, Jesus is not some like fuel that needs an additive to it to make it work better. No, like he's fuel.
He's the whole car.
He's a fuel alone. Right. That's all you need to make that engine of the gospel go. Jesus, that's it. And enough alone and what he has done. And so I think it's just really important, like I said, kind of looking at Solomon's life. And again, I never really like to look at stories in the Bible. And it's like, well, what do we draw from Solomon's life? And it's like, be a Solomon or don't be a Solomon. It's like, it's not that. But if there's something that we see in his life that I think we take away and gain from, it's the fact that you are a really bad engineer of your life. Mm. So why don't you just step away from the controls?
Yeah.
And why don't you just seek to apply God's wisdom in God's way, in God's time, rather than what you think is best?
Right.
And so this is a really fascinating story. It's a really tragic story, too, as well, too. You're like, there's a guy who, like you said, by world standards, had it all going. People flocking from all over the place to see him, to seek his wisdom. I mean, this is a guy we're talking about that was getting tribute money, like 66 tons of gold every single year. That's like $40 billion in our terms today. It's just insane. Like, the guy had it. I mean, like, what? Why did he? He blew it all up because he could never properly apply the wisdom that he, it seems like at the very beginning, genuinely sought. Like, he really wanted that. And I said, this is kind of the difference too. There are two words here, and they have a very divergent definition. Getting wisdom is very different from gaining wisdom.
Mm.
I think we feel like sometimes if we get wisdom, we have a lock on wisdom for the rest of our life. Like, we automatically have been like sprinkled with pixie dust, and like, you're good now, man. Yeah. Like, you've got, no, getting wisdom is not the same as gaining wisdom, because when you gain wisdom, you hold on to it and you apply it and you learn from it. The way that I kind of look at it is that we don't necessarily live our lives trying to get wisdom like it's some sort of a commodity. Like, right. if I can buy it or if I like hoard enough of it. No, it's not a commodity.
Yeah.
It's a gift of God. And you gain that wisdom, you apply that wisdom in every area of your life for the rest of your life. And so I think that that's just a really great place to stop for today. Thinking about that is that where in your life, we're going to go back to the original question we kind of started with, where in your life do you have accept? And I'm not talking about A-C-C-E-P-T, I'm talking about E-X-C-E-P-T, all right? Let's get the grammar right here, all right? It is like, God, I'm giving you everything except that right over there. All right, yeah. That's mine, and it's off limits. So I think it's a very fair question. I think it's a good, deep and soul-searching question for it you is. To ask and consider. Where are you holding out when it comes to God and His ways and His will for your life? I think about it this way. I'm just wired this way because I'm very into sports and watching sports. But I laugh a lot of times when I hear about an athlete that's holding out for more money. It's like, that to me is just the mindset of a greater problem that we have, of an age old and a life question is where are we holding out when it comes to God and saying, I'm not going to move another inch until I get this. And that's just a really bad, miserable, and joyless way to live life. And so the encouragement, like I said, is just to kind of search a little bit. Where have you carved out little niches where you're keeping things from God? What do you need to turn over to God and place in God's hands so that you might be able to live a fuller life, a more abundant life that Jesus would call that in the Gospels? He goes, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And that's not going to happen until you give over everything to God and you continue to let Satan and evil and the influence of this world continue to bark in your ears and in your mind saying, well, you need to watch out for you and you need to hold on to this. You don't. What you need to do in your life, what all of us need to do who are going to faithfully follow Christ, is to let go of the things that we have clutched so tightly in our hands and let God take care of that stuff and let God guide us in His wisdom and His time. And so,
I think that's good stuff right there.
That'll preach. It did actually on Sunday. So if you missed it and you didn't see it, please go back, check out our Facebook page. Was it the second week of our purposeful living?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. On Solomon.
With God, we know what to do.
Yeah. With God, we can know what to do. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. If you didn't catch that, please go back and take a look at that. But until we see you guys next time, God bless.
See you guys.